This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Thank you for everybody who, I don't know, let me vent throughout most of the show yesterday. I feel much better, by the way.
It's really only the first hour.
Yeah, it's true. That's just because we stopped talking.
Then he
about
took shots on Brian. Brian's out, crying out loud. Brian's going to be off the big board. Brian from Tacoma's just out. He didn't appreciate
fine.
All of that.
I don't care.
Yeah, I understand that. But, and I didn't think you vented. You know, you really just, it started with Lydia yesterday about 6:20. And then you kind of came on with us, and you got it all out, and you feel better.
I do.
That's what happens with East Coast people.
I feel much better today. I was thinking about that in the shower this morning. Like, my anger on Saturday and Sunday was at like a 9
Raw.
Out of 10.
Hot.
And then yesterday it was like an 8. And today it's at like a 1.
Sure.
Like, it takes the true venting of frustrations. And now I'm fully prepared, if you want to think about all the great things the Mariners did in the first half of the year and everything they're capable of in the second. But only after we were able to air our grievances of what they've done for the last week.
Healthy.
Yeah, now I feel good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, what a good team. Let's go. Why are they even breaking? Let's get back to it tonight. They had a little day off. Now go play some baseball and do your thing.
You got to watch a little baseball last night.
That was fun.
Got to see Nelly and Eddie and Gene, all the whole crew, just supporting their peers, and Major League Baseball got it right. Everybody loves to blast when something's totally wrong. What a disaster. What a mess. This is wrong. Fix this. And last night, I thought they got it right.
I would
agree
with
you. That was as compelling a home run derby as any of us in this room have seen.
There were no real stars other than Bryce Harper. Kyle Schwarber's probably second on that list. And it was nice that the two of them
Freddie
were the
Freeman.
Final two.
Freddie Freeman.
Big stars that people around the country know.
Yes.
I know Freddie Freeman, and so do you.
He's been to the All-Star game more.
Yeah, he's never
Kyle
been to
Schwarber's
a World
never
Series.
Been to an like, All-Star
but
game.
He played in the World Series, in that big World Series. I think I would bet more people around the country know who Kyle Schwarber is than Freddie Freeman. And that's not a knock on Freeman, who's a really good player. But it came down to those two guys at the end, and I think it was almost better for the fact that I didn't really know all the players. Like, I just thought it was compelling the way they went through the competition of it. I don't know. It was almost like the NCAA tournament factor.
The juice in that building was phenomenal. 50,000 people there cheering the whole thing on. I think that voice always helps. Guys wanted to be there. Instead of many of these events or exhibitions that you see, and it's like, oh, I got to
do
this. They're totally into it.
All right, so speaking of wanting to be here, it doesn't look like Earl wants to be here.
Good segue.
I mean, maybe he does, but you read his Instagram post yesterday. It drives me, first of all, absolutely batty that he's only doing this on Instagram. Can't you put this on Twitter where I can actually notice it? I have to go find Instagram on my phone. It's on like some second or third page.
Are you not on Instagram?
I am, but I don't use it. I have an account.
Can't
I can never
it.
Find it. I never remember what the little symbol looks like.
Twitter
I just
does.
Hate it.
Twitter. I feel vain enough with just Twitter.
I know. Like Instagram.
Even
like,
with Twitter. I
plus, I can never really figure out how to use it right. I know I sound super old right now,
uh-huh.
but I can never really figure out how to use it. It's
don't
like,
worry,
well, I
Wyman.
Can't scroll through these.
No, you're
like,
fine, Jim.
Oh, so much adversity
thankfully,
that you have to overcome.
Thankfully, it's awful, Lydia. Thankfully, somebody posted on Twitter something about Earl's Instagram. So I was like, ugh, I'll go find this stupidity. And like went through. And so what he wrote yesterday with a picture of him lifting is, extend. If you don't want me, let's make a trade happen. I understand it's a biz. What do you think?
Really good football player, really bad businessman. And I think I feel that way more and more about so many of these guys. Tremendous football players. Play speaks for itself. Going to be Ring of Honor members, brought us to the highest of highs. But when it comes to understanding the ramifications of the deals they sign, they're bad businessmen.
Mm.
And you got your money early. You got your guarantees. Your top five safety as far as what you're going to get paid in the NFL. So you've got all of that, and you were very happy to take that when that came, and you're going to be paid appropriately at the end of it. And unfortunately, you know, he wants more. And it just contractually just doesn't work that way. Tremendous football player showing yourself to be a bad businessman.
Yeah. Doesn't this come off as just sort of silly? I mean, that was sort of my reaction yesterday. Like, there's no anger. I'm not mad at Earl Thomas. He's too, it's like the way you would get mad at a baby. Like, I can't find myself angry at Earl Thomas because I don't think he knows any better. Does that make sense? Like, he doesn't know enough about the process, it seems, to even fully comprehend what's going on, what the Seahawks are doing, whether this doesn't help him with any leverage. Like, these posts are making it harder for him to get what he wants. Like, the whole thing. The only way for him to make anything happen is to be quiet, come to camp like a normal player, and then maybe if you don't skip games, then maybe you can get traded, and they're able to get some leverage back in order to do it. But the idea that he's going to force their hand, like, you're not going to force their hand.
No.
The only way you get, look, they're not going to extend you. They've made that perfectly clear. And the only way that you are going to get what you want in terms of a trade is if somebody else needs you, or if your value goes up enough, or if at some point they have nothing else to do, and finally they'll take whatever they can get. Yeah. But you're not helping the process.
No, and you would also say, and this is where these guys are beautifully hard-headed, it's that fine line of the trade-offs, that life is a trade-off. What makes them so elite, what's helped them knock through doors, what has allowed them to persevere through injury and everything else to be the stars they are, is hard-headed.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me otherwise. But Earl, we tried to do this offseason. No, you didn't. Yeah, yes, we did. We tried to do this through April into the draft, and it just did not. You did not have the value. Well, that's insane. I'm the best safety in the game. You must not have tried hard enough.
Right, exactly.
You must have screwed up your business.
Did you forget to call Dallas? Like, no, we checked in with the Cowboys. They don't want you.
Yes.
Or at least they don't want to give up enough to make it happen. And Texter here says, Mike, it's not ignorance, it's arrogance on Earl's part. I actually don't think so. I'm not saying that arrogance doesn't play a role in this whole thing, but I don't think it's about arrogance. I think it's about ignorance. I think it's about not fully comprehending the process and the way these things go down. That's my feeling anyway. Here's what I was thinking about, though. What do you remember from holdouts? I mean, you were around players and around the league, because the next guy that I found myself thinking about was not Earl. Like, I think we've all sort of made our peace with where you're at with Earl Thomas. I found myself thinking about Frank Clark,
mm-hmm.
who was very quick to chime in and say, pay the man. Yep. Like, oh, shut up, Frank. What are you talking about? This has nothing to do with you. Since when are you involved in all this?
Since he was indoctrinated by Michael Bennett, that's when he's involved. Same reason why he missed OTAs and everything else. It's the same movement, Mike. It is this little tension point between player empowerment, which we love. We love. We love watching these guys empowered in their individualistic nature. But, you know, but you got to be a team guy, got to play out your contract, got to do this, right? So it's a little bit of that healthy tension. Mike, it was with
you. Do you remember guys jumping into the fray like that? I know they didn't have social media to do it, but did they weigh in the media? Did they do those things?
Not necessarily in the media, no. The chatter was more in the locker room. And anytime there was a rookie that was going to hold out, and Ray Roberts has told these stories when he held out. Lamar King, in my draft class, when he held out, was like a joke show. Are you kidding me? You've done nothing in this league. You've not made one play in this league, and you're going to get X millions of dollars, especially the first round picks in my era.
So there was tremendous bitterness. Like,
yeah, there was always then a little tension of this guy better be real good. Like, this guy better, and not only for those holding out, but those making the most dough. You know, LeVon Kirkland, who we signed as a free agent, like, this dude better be legit. Like, he's making this amount of money, and don't think guys don't count each other's dollars, because, you know, if you're paying X, there's only so much more in the pot left for Y, and why there's always, you know, some level of recognition. It's not open business. It's not open dialogue, especially not on good teams, you know, where you're winning and you're doing all of that.
Public?
No.
I mean, I guess that's the thing. And I did find myself, I found myself a little bit torn by it, because there's a part of me that sees it as sort of like the way the Mariners rallied behind Gene Segura. Like, hey, Earl's our guy. Let's rally behind him. There's a common enemy and we have a common goal, and that's to get Earl paid. The problem is that's rallying behind the player, but at the expense of the team in general. And so
public, you've got to have done something. That's why we've heard more of this chatter, because you've had all of these Pro Bowlers, again, trade-offs, right? There have been excellent players, and they've accomplished something in this league, and they feel like they got a voice to stand on.
What's the number
who's going to become public? Bradley McDougald? Delano Hall? I mean, who's going to come out? I kind of like Delano Hall, but yeah, Delano Hill. Tedrick Thompson? Nick Vinette, any of these
Frank
guys
going
to come
next
out?
In line. Let's right, be
because
clear.
He's done a little something in
and
this
And because
league.
He's up for this next year as well. And he was hoping to get a deal this year. And yes. They're not reaching out. Yep. And he's looking at it and going, oh, first Earl, now me. They're letting all the good players on this team go. Yep. And this is and you got Sherman chirping from San Francisco and all these guys' ears trying to ratchet it up. I don't envy John Schneider, man. This is a really tough position to be in.
You better hold fast.
And honestly, that's why I would just ditch Earl as soon as you can. I mean, even if you can only take whatever you can get, even if it's a third-round pick, something to just move on.
So that's how you voted in Danny's poll?
Yeah, I think I did. Just move on because the way it is tearing apart some of the other guys, unless you're ready to move on from Frank Clark and everybody else as well, I just think there's a lot of bad hoochie. All right, 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Earl Thomas taking to Instagram yesterday to voice his opinion and his frustration with the Seahawks. He wrote, extend. If you don't want me, then let's make a trade happen. I understand it's a biz. Well, look. You can focus on Earl Thomas. I feel like we've already been down that road, but quite frankly, what he's doing doesn't make a lot of sense. It's silly. He doesn't really have any value, and these posts are only making it harder for the Seahawks to trade him. But yeah, I found myself thinking about Frank Clark jumping in and saying, pay the man. I'm really torn on it because I like that he's got his teammates back. I'm glad that they have that level of trust and respect amongst one another. But the other side is this protect the team element, and which comes first, your teammates or your team? I've got to say your team should, and how much is Sherman affecting this by sticking his nose into places it doesn't belong? Ultimately, I just think it's probably further proof that Frank Clark is not going to end up signing here and is going to be end up being a problem this year.
Yeah.
And I think I would move on from Earl as soon as possible to try to avoid that situation.
Yeah, this is right at the center of the challenge that this organization has faced, of individual empowerment, which we all celebrate and we all loved when this team was winning in 2012, 2011, 2013, which this team celebrated. Many of these individuals celebrated by saying, you know what, I'll do this deal now. I know I got another year left. I'm not going to get to free agency. I'll take this deal that's a win-win for the team. You get the proration over 5 years. I get the extension. I get my cash up front. But at the end of it now, when the team has some of that power, they have the option over you, and you can do very little about it, Cam. You can do very little bit about it, Richard. You can do very little about it, Earl. Well, your frustration grows, it mounts, and that's not ever a healthy team dynamic.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the home run derby yesterday. Bryce Harper wins it just as the clock was expiring in Washington, D.C. Trailed 18-9 in the final round against Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs, and then he hit 9 of the next 10 balls out of the ballpark. It was awesome, man. Really cool to see his dad throwing him pitches. Felt like they just needed to find the right groove. And once his dad found the right spot for that ball, a little high inside pitch, he just started clobbering them to right field. Fun to watch. I enjoyed the format. I liked the guys competing against one another. I liked the way they would call timeout, kind of take a break, and then immediately go back to clubbing home runs. But it added some really good drama to an event that had gotten stale, and it didn't hurt that Chris Berman wasn't a part of it either.
I'll give you three reasons why I think it stood out a little bit last night, at least for all of us in this room. It was communal. There's 50,000 people just energized in that building. That extra voice always helped. There sure felt like a shared admiration between players and contestants, actually rooting each other on while still competing, an admiration of others and the peers in baseball continuing to cheer on. I've never seen more parties for one another, more and bigger cheer groups, be it the Astros or different nationalities. And then lastly, just a competitive intensity that Bryce Harper really wanted to win this thing. It was really important to him to go get it. Then Schwarber really wanted to win. Those guys were competing. I think for all of that, it's the reason why I got off my couch, threw a couple buckets of balls to Titus and whiffle balls in the backyard, and I don't think I was alone with that by any sense.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
2018 All-Star Game tonight, 5 o'clock. You can listen to it here on 710 ESPN Seattle. 4 Mariners, of course, on the AL roster. And I think we'll get a chance to see all of them. For a while, I think everybody was on the do not pitch Edwin Diaz bandwagon, myself included. I may have been leading the charge, but he hasn't pitched now since July 11th. It's been 6 days. You may just need him to throw just to get an inning of work. I mean, it'd sort of be his regular time to get some work. Scott Servais, at this point, if he had gone this long normally, would probably try to get him into a game, even in a blowout situation, just to keep his arm fresh. Either way, after tonight, he wouldn't pitch again until Friday. So I would be willing to bet you do see Edwin Diaz tonight, although only for an inning. I think that'll be great. He seems to shine in these big stages. You remember how awesome he was striking out some of his friends at the WBC. So I'm looking forward to seeing Edwin Diaz hopefully tonight.
Set aside some of that recency bias of a 2-7 stretch to end the first half. Set aside a run differential that, well, you trail the Astros by 190. Set those things aside. Look at the standings and say, the Mariners have the fourth best record in baseball. And because of it, tonight may matter. You got the fourth best record in all of baseball. Do you want home field advantage? You want game one and game seven of the World Series in Safeco Field? Then, you know, based on those standings and where those Mariners sit, as unlikely as it may be, and as many people want to poo-poo that idea, this is still the team with the fourth best record in baseball, and I think you could argue that tonight could matter for home field advantage.
All right, there you go. Three things you need to know. We do that every single morning right at 7:10. I've been convinced to screw up the show coming up here in 15 minutes. I'm not proud of this, but will happen. But it's going to happen. 7:30, I guess you'll just have to tune
in.
Well,
it really isn't
out.
Your fault. No. It's at a boy from Kent and Tom Wassel's
I feel
fault.
Like it's mostly Wassel's fault.
Yes.
I'm shocked by this, but we'll do it at 7:30, right after the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Did you jump on Instagram yesterday?
No, I'm not on Instagram.
How did you read Earl Thomas's comments?
Somebody read it to me.
Oh, that was nice.
I know.
Wow, that must be nice to have a person who just reads you Instagram comments. Then you don't even have to find it on
John
your phone.
John lays on his couch. Yes. They've got the little fan, the little leaves, and they're like...
He's being fed grapes.
John, which post would you like to read about now?
I know. It's nice. It's good to be me.
Oh, it sounds it. It sounds wonderful. All right, so what did you make of it?
Well, I think we get more word where Earl's head is, and it's certainly not in Seattle. I think he wants to go to Dallas. And I think that this doesn't help him at all because it still puts the team in a position that they don't have to do anything until they get an offer that they're happy about. He's going to lose money. They'll get some money back. And it becomes a mess, and it becomes a big problem because in some sense, this is a big distraction. Although, again, at training camp, he'll be out of sight, out of mind.
What about Frank Clark jumping in immediately and saying, okay, pay the man? Like, is this... Has that become normal around the NFL, or is that still rare to see a player take a teammate's side in a dispute like this?
No, I think that's normal.
I mean,
you go back and look through the years. Remember when Cam Chancellor was holding out, before he held out, and then, of course, when he held out during the season, you know, Michael Bennett would get up at the podium and say, pay him, pay him. And so when most of the guys are up for contracts, I think most, you know, in particular on this team, you get the support. So, no, I don't think it's very unusual.
Yeah, I think on this team that's probably accurate, but this team kind of valued the individual empowerment maybe more than any other team we saw. So ultimately, John, let's spin this forward a little bit. You think he's just not going to show?
Yes, he's not going to show.
He's not going to show. Do you think he's going to try from afar to create as big a distraction as he can and make this as big a mess as possible? So finally, this team just says, oh, the heck with this. We're not going to deal with this. I don't want this to be a headline every day. I don't want any energy spent from Frank Clark and anybody else. Let's just wash our hands and maybe settle for a draft pick.
Well, the big thing first is to find a team that really wants to do something. Now, you know Dallas is interested. You know they'll try to get things at a discount as best they can. So I think the debate comes in. If you get offered a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, is that the time that you make the move? And that's very possible they would have to do it. But, again, they have control because he's got a contract. He loses money, not gains money. And so it's just kind of the waiting game. But, yeah, if the distraction becomes too much, they've got to get a move because they want to try to get some positive things going internally with this team.
So as you go back, and you evaluate on your database so many of these guys, and at the time when they signed their new deals, Richard and Earl and Cam's first one and even Russell, right, they still had a year left technically. They didn't run the whole process through and get to free agency. They all extended, right, with one, they were all extensions onto the final year of their deal. Ultimately, John, were those good deals? Was that good business for player and for team?
Yeah, it was. I mean, maybe you can say the Cam Chancellor one wasn't. Possibly you can say maybe the last Michael Bennett deal was. But you want to try to keep this team together as much as possible because they had special talent. And so, you know, it didn't work out, obviously, with Cam because of the neck injury, but you can't foresee that. But I think where you get into the danger is in the third contracts. And you really look at and break it down. And I've been doing it on the database now for about five straight days. When you get in that eighth and ninth year, sometimes it's hard to get the player to years years, 9 to 12. I mean, you only maybe get 2 years because the body starts to wear down. And you look around the league, I mean, there's not many guys. I think it was, I counted up since 2008, there may be 55 deals league-wide that were done as a third contract with the same team.
I'm going to try to argue three guys here, John, at three different positions, a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a defensive back. For all of the ire of these players in their contracts, and Richard and Earl and everything else, I'm going to give you Kirk Cousins at quarterback, Larry Fitzgerald at wide receiver, and Darrelle Revis at DB. That those guys have played this financial system and this financial game better than anybody else. And if you want to treat it a little bit like baseball, first 3 years of your deal, team's got you controlled. If you want to be franchised year by year, DeMarcus Lawrence, Le'Veon Bell, you can make $14 to $19 million guaranteed on that one-year deal. And then ultimately you become a free agent, and then it's up to you. Do you want to take another one-year deal, Revis? Another one-year deal, Larry? A two- or three-year deal if you've got enough leverage, Kirk Cousins? Can you see more guys follow, I think, the blueprint of those to some real success?
Well, I don't think you're going to find more guys because the number on the franchise keeps going up with this, with the salary cap. And because of that, the number, you go back in 2011, there was more than 20 players that were franchised. And you look and you saw back then, most of them end up getting deals. Now you're only talking about a handful, five or six each year. The higher the number goes on the franchise players, the less players are going to get franchised.
But then they get to be free agents.
Then they get to be free
agents.
Even
better for them. So either way, they're playing it the way they want it and they're not under team control.
That's correct.
And then lock yourself into short term deals. Be willing to do, instead of, you know, what others have done, even in this last year, 4 or 5 year deals, be willing to take those really short 1 to 2 year deals.
But also it can come back to betray you to a certain degree. I mean, go for Trumaine Johnson. He took two franchise tags and actually got over $16 million last year in that second franchise tag. He hit the open market and he had to take 14. You know, Le'Veon Bell, he's going to, because I think the comparable number for him in next year's free agency is probably about $11.5 million, and he just turned down $14 to $15 million because he wanted $17 million.
Well, what's he going to get this year in the meantime?
Well, he's going to get 14.55.
Seems like a lot of money. I don't know. It's a good debate. I don't think it's going anywhere. Let's hit the wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton,
yes.
Have you ever had a jar that you simply could not open no matter what you did?
Pretty much every week. Either a jar or some kind of a canister or something like that. In fact,
what do you do?
What's that?
What do you do when you have those?
Try like crazy. I know, one time I was trying to get a water thing open for a saline solution for my wife, and I had to end up going over to the Walgreens, and they couldn't open it.
Wow.
So those people that read you the Instagram posts and tweets, are they the same people that open your jars?
If I can find them. I mean, there's obviously, nice. I don't think they're sitting here in the house, so I'd have to go outside to be able to do
like
that.
An army of servants around your house, reading to you, fanning you in the heat.
Let's put it this way. Thank heavens for good caregivers here at the house to help me out on some of this stuff that I'm not real good at.
It's amazing, John. I'm glad you make it through each day.
I love it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there you go. John Clayton with us every single morning at 7:15. I do like the image of John in his townhouse there in Renton being fanned by the giant frog.
Read me Earl's post again, please. Is it Twitter or Instagram? Either one. What does Richard Sherman have to say this morning on Instagram? He chooses what dialect. Do you want the English version?
People want to know if you remember the rubber jar opening strap. I do remember my mom having like a piece of flat rubber that you would put over the can.
Oh, really?
And it would just help you get a better grip.
Huh.
I mean, it wouldn't help you with the string, but it would help you get a better grip than you could get with a towel.
You go
or something
hot.
Like that.
You got hot water sometimes.
I just bang it
tap.
A couple times.
You bang
against the against the counter a few times, and maybe turn it upside down and back up again, and it seems to open every time.
Right.
After
Groovy.
That, either that or Heather loosens it, and I just kind of do the best I can at the end. All right, you can listen to the show here in the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Going to want to be listening to Danny Dave Amore. Day two today of the 6 degrees of Danny Dave Amore. Get one of you those celebrities to call in, and the tickets are if you can have the best interview, you can win season tickets to the Seahawks this year. You can go get the details, the phone number, the list of celebrities, the rules, etc. at 710sports.com. All right, well, I don't understand.
This,
you guys have
nuts.
Sort of played me and told me about the sound from Wassel, sound from Curtis, and also a caller.
Yes.
I don't think you guys are going to want to hear this, but it's next on Brock and Salt.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, it's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. You can catch it on the 710 Sports app as well. It's a good place to listen to this show. Hopefully, I was on my phone last night on 710sports.com watching the lounge. The Home Run Derby Lounge. Lydia chilling. Doing her thing out there with the backwards baseball cap.
Chilling in the lounge.
Absolutely. Lydia, was it a chill vibe there last night? What'd you think?
It's very chill. I mean, it was a little too uptight. Then I'm like put the baseball cap backwards things really calmed down.
Yeah. Wassel had the bat the whole time.
He did. I don't know if that was a nervous thing.
Yeah. Or... It didn't look. I mean, I could have texted him to help him out. Like just seeing the top of the bat sticking up from it was not a great look for Tom.
Interesting.
It would have been better if you could have seen the whole.
It was a tough day for bat. Tom. Really from beginning
it sure
to
was yeah. so tough that it's going to it requires a I can't believe we're gonna do this. It requires bringing back Say What.
1, 2, 3.
I said this is a bad idea. I continue to say it's a bad idea, and yet
Say What.
This is Brock and Salk's Say What.
I will never love anything more than I love Say What.
What?
Here you go, another edition of the worst segment on radio.
It's Brock and Salk's Say What.
All right, there are two pieces of sound from Bob Gross and Tom that made this segment necessary today. They're both a little long, but I hope you'll stay with them because I promise the payoff is worth it.
It's pretty rich.
So this starts with a caller who was on their show yesterday. They don't take a lot of calls, but Bob Gross and Tom somehow convinced Gross to take calls yesterday on the Mariners.
How are you feeling about the Mariners?
And that's when this guy called up. Mike is with us. Hey, Mike.
I want the sports community as a whole here in Seattle to get behind this team and quit analyzing all of the what if this, what if that, what if this. Let's win the game today. If we lose, we know our team didn't want to lose. That's how we support this team and get them to the World Series. I played in the World Series. I know how it works.
Did you say you played in a World Series?
I did.
When?
1963.
What's your name?
Mike.
Mike what?
McNeary. I think who's this?
That's Tom Wassel.
This is Tom Wassel.
Oh, okay. Do you know, is there a guy that's on your show that went to school in Oregon?
No.
No.
Okay, that must be a different show. Anyway, I was in a Babe Ruth American Legion World Series in 63.
Okay.
We finished fourth in the world.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's the same thing in the majors. You just got more guys. I mean, the competition level is exactly the same. That's where I scout my pitchers from. You know, I mean, come on. It's
enough. Come on. Babe Ruth League. It's not the same as the major league, Mike.
The Gross. Somebody woke up the Gross in the middle of that call, and he's like, wait, what are we doing?
Gross went 2 minutes listening to all that and did not say a thing.
Unfortunately.
Finally had enough.
That guy starts off by demanding the return of Taylor Motter.
Demanding.
Also.
Yes.
You know, we'll get the Mariners going in the right direction again, Taylor Motter.
His justification was that, you know, I played in a World Series team, so I know how valuable this guy would be to be on that team.
So funny. He played in an American Legion World Series in 1967.
It's the same thing.
Well, same thing.
It is.
Do you know, you want to know a crazy side part of that story?
Sure, howdy.
Crazy side part of that story is comedian Adam Ray was sitting on hold to prank call the guys on
the show.
That
is really funny. And that wasn't him. That was a real
call. That's how I knew it wasn't him, because I had just put him on hold.
That is really funny. All right. Well, don't worry. They didn't need to be prank called. They were able to make themselves look ridiculous all by themselves. This is a debate.
Is this true? Hold on. Howdy, were you here for this?
You can just roll.
Hold on. Howdy, you were here for this, right?
This really is legit.
Sitting in this room.
They weren't trying.
Spot.
They weren't trying. This is not a radio gag.
We're a ways from the ocean.
About an hour. What, Seattle's an hour away from the ocean?
I thought it was further.
You got the Puget Sound right there.
That's not the ocean.
That's fresh water.
The Puget Sound?
Yeah.
Elliot? Salt water out there.
Pretty sure it's fresh water.
No. That's salt water. But
that's salt water.
But that's not the ocean proper. That's just a little...
Right.
I think salt water. I'm thinking ocean. That's, to me, the ocean. That's out there.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean.
That's not salt water.
A river.
That's fresh water.
But it goes from the Gulf.
It dumps.
You're digging a hole.
It goes the other way.
Oh, it goes out.
The Mississippi River flows into the ocean.
Okay.
Starts in Minnesota.
Now we're getting somewhere. I'm done here.
What? So Tom starts off as the hero of this debate.
What are we doing?
By correctly understanding that the Puget Sound is not the ocean.
It's Bob that's really the hero there. He at least knew like what type of water is there.
No, but he also he considers Puget Sound to be the ocean.
That's fresh water.
It's not fresh water, C. Raj. Regardless,
I'm pretty sure.
I also don't consider Puget Sound
the ocean. That
is
not the ocean.
Water. It's water Puget from Sound. The ocean, but right. It's Puget Sound.
It is, it is not the ocean. To get to the ocean, you got to go to the other side of the peninsula.
Correct.
But the Mississippi River.
That's fresh water.
No, the Mississippi River is.
But it starts at the Delta.
Hold on a second.
Did Tom think it started in Mississippi and flowed
all
north?
The water was gushing in from the ocean up the river.
That doesn't happen anywhere.
Coming from Tom, who constantly berates people around the office for not understanding their U.S. geography.
Right.
You cannot believe how excited we are.
Tom, come on, you're better than that. It's at sea level.
I'm sorry, can I just
the whole point is that a river flows from a mountain to sea level. How can it go back up?
Can I just hear the start of that again, please? Just from the very beginning, one more time.
We're a ways from the ocean.
About an hour. What, true. Seattle's an hour away from the ocean?
Yes.
I thought it was further.
You got the Puget Sound right there.
No.
That's not the ocean.
Right. That's fresh water.
Puget Sound?
Yeah.
Elliot? Salt water out there.
Pretty sure it's fresh water.
No. That's salt water. But
that's salt water.
But that's not the ocean proper. That's just a little...
I think salt water. I'm thinking ocean. That's, to me, the ocean. That's out there.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean.
That's not salt water. That's fresh water.
But it goes... From the Gulf.
You're digging a hole.
It goes the other way.
Oh, it goes out.
It goes from the Gulf.
It's one of those action-packed hour.
It's one of those rivers that flows up.
Goat sleeping. Well, I guess you just have to go wake him up now, won't
right.
you?
You wake up that goat.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Right, you want to
play the World Series? You know what we're doing.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Humanity.
I don't even know that I want to play these.
We don't know sounds.
I got Mark Connor, but everybody's
heard
this.
We don't know lakes. We don't know rivers. We don't know oceans.
He's sorry, not sorry for bat flip.
It was nice to finally pop one. And, you know, given the situation, I was excited. So I got on Twitter and got out in front of this a little bit because I knew that question was coming. So I'm, you know, sure a lot of San Franciscans are offended by that. And sorry. You know, people getting offended by bat flips is so silly. It's just like, I'm not sorry. I'm not really sorry. If somebody's going to throw at me because of it, I got thrown at in the past this season for bat flipping. I clearly didn't learn my lesson. So, you know, if you're offended by that, I don't care.
Bad boy.
Good for him.
What a bad boy.
That's the guy who wears the ski mask.
It's a weirdo.
It's the mask.
Yeah. That is a weirdo.
Not all heroes wear capes. Some wear masks.
He's a strange dude.
He is a very strange dude.
He posts like what the weather forecast is going to be and then like whether or not he'll have his mask on or not, dependent on the weather. I'd appreciate that.
The Mississippi River, he thinks, flows up from the Delta.
But you can't move on from that.
Is this because he's a flat earth guy, too? You know, Wasso's flat earth.
So you think when he says he's flat earth, he doesn't believe in mountains?
He's a recent flat earther, so he's still figuring it out.
He denies gravity.
The only type of flat earth you could be that would require that would allow a river to go from the ocean up would be somebody who thinks the earth is flat and doesn't have any topography.
I don't know.
You would have to think that mountains don't exist and that everything is at sea level. And that way, I guess the ocean, like the river could slosh back and forth.
Like not just flat earth and that it's not a sphere, but flat earth and that there is no elevation change
across
the entire earth.
No topography.
Wow.
I'm just sorry. I'm non-contributor with the segment. I don't know what to do.
Can we talk about the school systems in Connecticut? What is he talking about?
Well, see, Raj is from around here, too, to be
That's
fair.
A kid
said
from
fresh
Kent.
Water.
That is.
That's fresh water.
But he didn't get confused on Mississippi River. Like, I think that
I... don't know. He just went quiet after thinking the entire Puget Sound was fresh water.
You know what, though? That is more understandable, I think, than the Mississippi River. Yeah, I think so. Because you don't know where the brackish thing starts. Like, maybe it starts at... I mean, look, he's wrong, obviously, but... That is not half as crazy as thinking the Mississippi River is salt water and flows up from the Delta.
Maybe
I'm with you because they took all the focus on the Puget Sound, and I texted Bob during the break, I said the Puget Sound thing will get the headlines.
Right.
The Mississippi River thing was equally as stunning.
It is significantly more stunning because it requires a complete lack of understanding of how rivers work. Like, that's a truly amazing thing. All right, Tom, I feel sorry for you. I hope you get this straightened out today. Coming up next, we'll shift back to some real hardcore football talk. Earl Thomas is using an Instagram strategy, but is that the best one? Brock's got some advice next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Some good text coming in, not surprisingly, 710, powered by Coors Light. Chris is on Twitter saying, I'm sitting in traffic. I have actual tears running down my face in laughter, but also in sadness. It's fair. Poor Wassel.
Do you feel like there's a subject maybe with friends or whatever that they broach that you just disappear because you have no confidence?
Yes, every day in the sports bed. I sit between Bob Stelton, Brent Stecker, and Tom Wassel, and they talk
music.
Not just music, yes. But like
deep
music composition.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and like
and you're out.
Which bassist is better, who plays the better snare.
And you don't want to talk treble clefs and C notes and anything.
I have
like
no
that.
Idea what they're talking about.
Okay.
Text message. This is what America's become. A dude from Kent doesn't know the Puget Sound is saltwater. Wassel thinks rivers flow upstream. My God. Another text. There's only a handful of rivers that even flow north. But none that flow from the ocean, proving Wassel will say anything. That was funny. And then a few people pointing out that occasionally some salt will invade the Mississippi River.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not
right.
Not what Tom was trying to say. No, I don't think so. All right. Three good football questions for Brock every day, 7:45. Starting with this one, Brock. Earl is on Instagram. That seems to be his chief strategy right now in terms of getting the word out to support his cause. What should he be doing?
Yeah, he's got to play this deal out, man. You got to be Jimmy Graham. You got to play this deal out. You got to play the final year of your contract out. There is nothing you're going to do. There's no fuss you're going to create. There's no leverage you're going to gain on any Instagram or Twitter poll. Your buddies are largely gone, other than Frank Clark. You're not going to have Richard Sherman, a Cam Chancellor, a Michael Bennett, a Cliff Averill, other mouthpieces. Bobby's not going to do it. All right, get your name out of his mouth. Anyway, he's not going to be the one to do it. And so much of that, just kind of self-element, I think they tried to flush as much as anything this offseason. So you got to go play it out, and you got to get to free agency, and you got to play at a level that the market says, I need you. I still need you on my team, because that market this offseason said, no thanks. Not top five salary, not wanting to extend this guy to a long-term deal. There just were not market options for you. So go out like Jimmy Graham did, play at a high level, and guess what Jimmy Graham got? He got another three-year contract and another 14 to 15 guaranteed, and that's going to be the avenue you've got to go. And I'm so sorry that you've got to play your final year out making top five money at your position. That is very difficult.
All right, question number two.
Tongue in cheek. You're making legit, like, top five money. This isn't they got you and you're making $2 million like Michael Bennett is this year in Philly. You're still making unbelievable amount of cash. Sorry. Player, okay. Question two.
Not all really. Right.
I told you, that last segment just did me in.
It was too much to hear, yes. Tom.
Oh, and more from a boy from Kent. Like,
kid from Kent.
A kid from Kent. You know better than that. Kid from Kent. Puget Sound.
Kent is like an hour from Puget Sound in traffic. I mean, you joke, but like it takes forever to get to Kent from Puget Sound. Deal with 167, good luck.
True.
The traffic on that road is awful.
Horrible.
Somebody's sitting in it right now listening to the show going, yes, it's terrible. I hate where I am. Why am I sitting in this traffic every day? I get to get from here onto 405, it just gets worse. You're nowhere near Puget Sound. I don't blame Curtis for not knowing that.
All right.
It's like another state.
Good.
All right, question number two. When did business actually get discussed in the locker room?
Is Salt Lake saltwater or freshwater?
Answer the question.
I told you a little bit earlier, a couple of little stories. Business got discussed when rookies wanted to get paid and wanted their big deals. And back in the day, and a little bit more in my year in the previous CBA, guys held out. Joey Bosa last year, 2 years ago, holding out in San Diego. I promise you, there were plenty of rookies or veterans saying, and rookies alike, like, come on, man, get in the camp for crying out loud. So that's probably the most time money is discussed. But I do remember one time, Ricky Waters checked for some reason. This was before the age of direct deposits. And one of his teammates went up there and grabbed his check. And like a few of us looked at it like, oh, my gosh. in a 2 week span, he is making more than any of us. And he gets us every 2 weeks. Yes, he does. So guys know each other's deal. They know each other's money. There's usually largely not any bitterness. Really, there's not bitterness. It's just, hey, good for you, man. We know the way of this business. You got yours. Congratulations. But rookies tended to get the most heat.
Question number three. And I told you the other night I went to see Bill Burr.
Yes.
Which is fun at the Paramount. Ran into somebody who was very nice, listened to the show. He's like, yeah, I'm one of those guys who probably wishes you would talk more Huskies. I said, all right, what do you think? He's like, ah, I'm really excited. I think they're probably a few years away from truly being national title contenders once these recruiting classes come to fruition. I said, what do you think about Jake Browning? He said, he's all right. I just don't know that I believe he can take this team to a national championship title game.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and if Jake is the person that is sort of being counted on to do that, what can he do to improve his game together?
Yeah, you know, I actually ran into Jake last week, and I told him the conversation was largely off the record, and it's going to stay largely off the record, but I don't think he would mind me sharing. The one thing that he is focused on and really trying to work on, and I love it as a goal for his final and last year, is just that foot speed and quickness to maximize it. He's not going to go run a 4.4 or 4.6. That's just not going to happen. But to absolutely maximize every bit of agility and twitch and movement, because I think last year, you know, it showed some of that. He is a headstrong guy, man. Chris Peterson loves it. I love it for that reason. His presence, his arm strength, all of this stuff should not spell out the greatest record-holding quarterback in Washington history, which is what he is going to be when it's said and done, and maybe get this team to a playoff for two times out of his 3 years as a major, major starter. That said, his last year sacks and some of the negative plays and him believing he can be Russell Wilson and get out of everything, No, you can't. Throw it away. And if you still believe in yourself that much, and let's make sure you maximize your agility, your foot speed, your quickness as much as you can.
Yeah.
And that has been a bit of a focus this offseason.
All right, those are your three questions with Brock. Coors Light's Blue 42. Some people here are trying to say that Kent is only 5 minutes from Puget Sound because it borders either Tacoma or Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
It still takes an hour. Trust me, I've been to Kent.
Everywhere in
Kent is an hour. That's my feeling on Kent. Doesn't matter where in Kent, it takes an hour to get there.
Well, he's got a room in the arena, right? Doesn't
C-Rodge?
Yeah, doesn't C-Rodge have a little loft
whatever
in the arena?
Whatever it is, if it's in Kent,
right
it takes
off of 167, you can just book right over.
Like in L.A., they say everything's 20 minutes away. Like no matter what, even if it's down the street, it takes 20 minutes minimum. Everything is an hour from Kent. That's been my experience so far here in Seattle. All right. Coming up, Brock, I got three things I want to talk to you about. Yeah, we're going to come back to some of the Derby. But tonight is going to be an interesting situation for Mariners fans. We're going to write the perfect script together. Next on Brock and Salk.